No, he was a true MVP.
Over me? Twice?
Oh, get out of here.
Practice? Not the game. You talking about practice?
Jonas Valanciunas.
Welcome, everybody, to the Big Ballers Podcast. Back for another edition. This is a Summer League free agency sort of tilt, I think, boys, we'll call that. Miller, how are you, mate? Oh, nearly forgot to introduce everyone. Miller, how are you, buddy?
Nah, that's right. Everyone knows who we are. We're important enough.
That's good to hear. LJ, how are you, mate? You must be very happy with your situation at the moment.
Moderately happy.
Moderately
happy. I'm already looking forward to... Yeah, once Russ signs, I'll be happy.
Okay. You don't think he will?
I think he will, but I thought KD was going to stay as well, so I'm not getting ahead of myself.
That's fair enough. We'll quickly just cover a couple of big moves that have happened since we last talked. Because before we last talked, we didn't think Chris Paul was going anywhere. He's gone to Houston. We had no idea that OKC was anywhere near in the running for Pierce.
To be fair, nobody did.
No, exactly. And sure enough, PG is now part of the Oklahoma City Thunder. What else has happened that was sort of a big move?
Hayward chose Boston.
Yeah, Hayward chose which Boston. Yeah,
he kind of knew he would, but didn't. Oh. But thought he might not. I guess
it's so long for him to make that decision than it does for my missus to decide what we're doing for dinner. It was fucking ridiculous.
Apparently, he had three versions of that write up he did had written.
Yeah,
so it didn't matter which one he chose.
I always wondered that. Because surely, like, these guys just don't write it and publish it to the world. Like, there's got to be people that look over these things and actually make sure that, you know, it's written correctly.
No, it was a ghostwriter. A ghostwriter wrote it.
Okay.
I think it would all be, because...
And then he looked over it.
I think the first two-thirds of it would have all been exactly the same no matter what. And then that last paragraph, I guess, is what was different.
So it would have been like that Markel Fultz Instagram post, like, insert team here.
Yeah. It would have been.
All right, well, we've had... Summer League is now officially over because we are recording on the Tuesday night. So, who were the standouts for you boys? Miller, who were the standouts for you for this Summer League?
Over the Summer League? Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit biased because obviously watching a bit of our boys, Mitch Creek and Nathan Sobey in the Utah Jazz, I've got to see a lot of Donovan Mitchell, and that dude's going to be a star. Like, just both ends of the court, he's got it covered. And another one as well for me, Kyle Kuzma. I'm a big fan of his work.
Of course, I'm happy with Kyle Kuzma. Was it quite surprising to see Dante Exum actually say he wanted to have a run in Summer League? How did he do? Because you would have watched a lot of the Utah games.
He did pretty well.
Well.
He definitely looked like a guy that's been in the NBA. Like he should have been better. You know, he's been there for 2 years, technically 3 years. You know, officially, I guess. But he had that 1 year out with the ACL, but he came into the league so young that it's not like he's older by much than most of the people that were in Summer League. So you know, it was good to see him get out there. He definitely looked more confident, and they're running the ball through him. So he's just got to make the next step, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. It looks like the Salt Lake City Summer League was sort of the Exum showcase and sort of allow him to build up his confidence as well, because by all reports he was working pretty hard over the offseason and working on his attack on the basket, which he sort of looks like he's got that quick first step now. So if he can sort of maintain that and just, you know, finish at the basket, he could be a pretty handy player for the Jazz.
For sure. But he still showed that, you know, against obviously the Summer League, the size and the athleticism of the guys is a bit less, but he still struggled a bit taking contact, which he's in the league, he's going to get. So he's still got to shore up his finishing around the basket, but he definitely looked to have some moves and he was aggressive. But one thing, being the devil's advocate, I guess, that I did think is when they put him out there is, you know, he didn't get much burn sort of last year. Are they putting him out there knowing he's probably better than most of the Summer League, you know, opposition, and giving him a bit of a showcase? So if they try and trade him, you know, that's what other teams are thinking about, I guess, is, you know, it looked like he had potential going against some of the other young guys.
Well, do you think they would trade him now? Because they're sort of desperate for the two or three.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think the coach, like, has much faith in him. You know, like, he'd last year, they were in a different spot. You know, they weren't a rebuilding team really, so they were gone for something else. But you know, he'd make a mistake and he'd get pulled, and that'd be it. So I don't know if they want to go in. It was just a thought I had. Is, you know, they maybe, you know, he's a third year guy in the summer league, but he hasn't played a lot, so it did make sense. But yeah, I just thought maybe, you know, maybe they're trying to give him an audition for other teams.
Yeah, but that's the thing though. Like, you got to think as well. Like, while last year was, I suppose, his second full playing year, and his third year in the system, it almost was like a sort of a reborn rookie year, really, coming off that ACL. So I don't know. You can't really. I don't think you can read too much into, you know, him getting benched and whatnot, because as you said, he's still one of the younger guys in the team. And I don't know, with guys like that, especially, you know, he's not a scoring point guard as such. He's more of a play, I suppose, a developing playmaker. So those guys do take time to develop.
Would he be moved more to the two though now?
I don't know if he's got. I don't know. It depends, because it looks like he has been working on his shot. He was with summer league, it's kind of hard to tell. But
yeah,
he was bringing that step back a lot in summer league. But I mean, you got elite defenders in the NBA where you can pull those moves on them and still hit the shots. Who knows? But I mean, heading in the right direction to sort of improve his game and maybe see some more minutes.
Fair enough. We'll move to Philly with Markel Fultz, and before he rolled his ankle, looked very promising.
Yeah, there's something about this draft class, man. They're all, again, I know they kind of keep saying it's summer league, but they just seem composed and confident in their abilities and aren't afraid to take on, you know, the defenders in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, again, being summer league, we'll try and stop saying that. But
yeah, I know, but you have to, though. Being summer league,
but it's still, you still can only play against who's out there, and those guys are still, you know, did shine. Now, I don't think Lonzo Ball's going to be dropping 36 points in the NBA, but that's what you want to see, is you want to see those guys taking on the competition that is, you know, to be fair, it's not at the NBA level, but it is around about their level. You know, it's a lot of college guys and a lot of sort of like more established guys that are on the fringe of being in the league, so they're not playing bums either. And that's what you want. You want them to stand out and show that they're the guys that should be in the league, and I think they all did that. You know, there wasn't many of them that you know, they'd have the odd game here and there, but they're young guys. There was none of the, you know, sort of top 10, 12 guys that went out there and you're like, man, he looked terrible. All of them really did look good. And I mean, the interest in the summer league, and it's because of those guys. There's no question about that. The buzz around this draft class, like I read something saying that the summer league viewership was the same as, you know, regular season games on ESPN and stuff. So it's brought something, and you know, everyone knows the NBA wants to do everything they can to make them a year round league. So you know, they got the off season buzz with the free agency signings, everyone going nuts, and now they've got this extended buzz with summer league. Before you know it, it's, you know, preseason's going to come around again. So
yeah, well, it's definitely, you know, brought
they're doing something right for sure.
It's definitely brought the Laker fans out of the closet, because all of those summer league games when Ball was playing were absolutely packed.
Yeah,
for his game. And then as soon as the game was over, they just sort of like evaporated.
They're exciting team to watch, man. It's like the, you know, people are already calling them the bloody summer league Showtime Lakers, but they're exciting to watch. Just to add on to what LJ said as well, I think our mate Mark said as well, that the games were selling out. Like in previous years, you had people rocking up to the Vegas summer league and they'd buy a day pass and away they go, but the people were getting there and the games were sold out and they couldn't get in. So I mean, it definitely says something for this draft class. And you've got, you know, the likes of Cole Kuzma for the Lakers as well, like pick 27. And, you know, just the confidence that he has on the court, man, is ridiculous.
I like the way he puts himself in position to score. Like, especially when you know you've got a point guard like Ball who's going to look for you, he seems to get himself in a really good position to be in the right spot to score, which in the NBA is going to help him out. It's not like he's trying to get the ball on the three-point line and take on all comers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, just while we are on Kuzma, I'll sort of jump into a quick question we had on Twitter from JR Rogers, or Coach JR. He wants to know if you reckon Kuzma will play regular minutes for the Lakers in the season coming up, and, you know, are we more likely to see him play in the three rather than the four, which I think he did in college?
I don't know. I think he'll be definitely coming. He'll be off the bench. Jeez. Well, who would, like,
They're not deep.
No, they are deep.
I don't see any reason that he wouldn't play.
No, he'll
some
get
minutes.
He'll definitely
get
minutes.
He's not going to be starting and stuff. But,
no.
I mean, if you have a look at, and unfortunately, we only sort of got to see one or not even a full game out of Ingram, but he did look good. But you know, Kuzma doesn't look like he's that far behind. And you know, we're talking about the second pick last year, so I think he's. I mean, it depends how he goes through, you know, through training camp and stuff. But I definitely think, from just basing on what he showed in summer league, he was, you know, a top between 5 and 10 player there. So I don't see any reason why he couldn't. And as far as position, I don't think it matters anymore. You're either going to grab rebounds, dribble the ball up the court, or play somewhere in between. So,
and the good thing about him too is he scored points without really dominating possession. You know what I mean? He just always seemed to be on the end of something. You're like, fuck, he's
well, having Lonzo in summer league helps as well. Mind you, he didn't have Lonzo today and he's still dropped, what, 30 points? So.
Yeah. So he can get it going, but it'll be, you know, once he starts playing the bigger bodies and stuff, he's going to have adjustments to make, but he's definitely got, you know, seems like he's got the skills and the, you know, goes about it the right way. So
Well, let's be honest. Like, they're in the West. They're not going to take the conference by storm. So it might as well, I don't know, in my theory, you might as well ride the excitement. And, you know, if you can get these young guys on the court and get the fans there like they were at summer league, then, you know, for the Lakers to have the fans excited about something again, it might be worth just giving these guys the minutes.
Well, not only that, they have nothing to lose this year, because if they in the lottery, they're not going to get their pick anyway. So they've really got nothing to lose but to go for it, really.
Yeah. And long term, the more of these young guys they can get minutes into and, you know, get them a name for themselves, they're either going to be good and they're going to keep them, or if they do decide to go, you know, to sort of jump from that rebuild mode into the let's win now mode and go for LeBron and PG and John Wall, then, you know, they've got those, they're going to have to move guys. So they've got those pieces there that players will be willing to take to shed cap or to do whatever. So it's a bonus for him as well. But as far as a team that's rebuilding, if you can pick up a guy like that, you know, with that deep in the draft,
the 28th pick,
they're the difference. They're the difference makers more so than, you know, the first, second, third, fourth pick, because you know what you're getting there. Like, look what Warriors are doing with Draymond, you know, picking Draymond where they picked. If they don't pick up a player like that, that deep, they might not be doing what they're doing. So those deep picks are, you know, even more important, I guess. And it looks like they've maybe uncovered something. So.
Mm. What do we think of De'Aaron Fox with the Kings? Intriguing, not really moved the needle for you?
I don't know. It's hard. I didn't really get to see too much of him. What I did see, he's obviously pretty quick with the ball. He's not afraid to push the tempo.
They've got some exciting young rookies on that team. They got four young guys that in a couple of years, they could actually be a really good team if they don't king it up.
Yeah. But they will. But that's not the story.
Yeah.
But I think someone like Fultz, he's not Fultz. Fox. He's obviously got a good IQ and he competes. So I think that, you know, the way you're seeing him play now is obviously he's only going to improve. When you compare him to someone like Smith from Mavs, who's just like, he's NBA ready body now. Like, there's no question about that. But I think he's maybe a guy that's not going to, you know, he's not going to. His ceiling isn't as high as someone like Fox, put it that way. I think Fox got a pretty high ceiling, but maybe didn't show out as much as some of the other guys did in summer league.
I'll tell you who does. Also, Jackson for the Kings. Those two, in a few years, I reckon will be running that team.
Was that the guy that did his knee? Like, he was...
Did he do his knee?
They picked up someone later on in the first round that was like a, you know, 1, 2, 3 pick at the start of the year, but blew his knee out, I think.
Oh, it could have been. Josh Jackson
ended up
from,
picking him with...
Well, Josh Jackson's at Phoenix. Justin Jackson's one at SAC.
Sorry, yeah, that's yeah.
And then I think they had, I don't know if it was him. They had two early picks, I think, in the first round, and they had like a later pick in the first. And they took a kind of gamble, I think, on someone there. And he looks like he's going to be all right as well. But
yeah, they had four really good rookies. Like from just
and then
from
they
the
like Vince Carter and Z-Bo and stuff, which didn't make any sense. But
I don't know. If you've got four good rookies, don't you want to put some old guys around them just to...
Yeah, but why do those old guys want to go there? Like, they went there for fuck all anyway. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But Tatum as well was another guy that I was super impressed
with. Oh, man.
Tatum and Brown. Like, and Brown.
Yeah, but Tatum guy, you know how someone, like Kareem had a skyhook, right? And that was his move. It was go-to. He's got a long way to go, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's Kareem, but he's got like four or five moves that are just go-to moves that are money. So
that's spinning step back.
Oh, man. He was just...
I saw him miss one.
He'll have to, again, he's going to have to make adjustments, but man, that kid's going to lead the league in scoring. Like he reminds me of like a Melo kind of type player offensively where he can hit it from outside, he can take you off the dribble, he can pull up, or he can hit you in the post. Like he can just score from anywhere. And yeah, he's going to be fun to watch for sure.
Okay, well, I'll put you guys on the spot because you've had a brief look at the guys through Summer League. Who do you think is going to take Rookie of the Year this year? Not to mention, we still haven't seen Ben Simmons play.
Yeah. I think Lonzo Ball probably. Yeah, based on what we've seen and based on, you know, the role he's going to have in that team, they haven't got another... I don't even know if they've got another point guard on the roster at this point.
They don't. They interviewed Walton yesterday and they said, do you think Ball will be starting for you? He said, well, we don't have any other point guard on the roster, so pretty sure he's got the job.
And you look at the roster they do have, and it seems like, and you know, all the talk around the team, it seems like, you know, they're ready to give him the keys to the franchise, sort of, you know. So I think, I think he's got to be the favorite.
Yeah, I think I was pretty sort of hot on Tatum early on, but as a few guys said to me, like, you got to think in that Celtic system, there's a fair chance he may not see as many minutes as everyone else, which... Yeah, when you think about it, it kind of does make sense. But, you know, if he can find a way to get into, you know, into some regular minutes, I reckon Tatum's a fair chance to take the Rookie of the Year.
I honestly have a feeling with him, like, you're going to see him starting by the end of the season. Because I think he's going to have some performances that you just can't, you know, you can't ignore it. And I'd think, I don't know, but I'd assume that they're going to start IT and Hayward in the backcourt. After trading away Bradley, I'd say Hayward's going to move to the two. So they're probably, besides that, I mean, they got Crowder, Brown, Tatum at the three. So there's going to be minutes there.
Do you think Brown gets put? Oh, I suppose you do think Brown gets pushed aside for Tatum.
They can play together. I mean, one can play at the three, one can play at the four. It doesn't matter anymore, you know. But I just mean, as far as the players they've got in those positions. I don't expect that he's going to start at the start of the season, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was starting the second half or the last third of the season.
Okay. We'll move on to some free agents signings and Rondo to New Orleans. What do we think of that?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a nothing move. I don't know. Like it's me and LJ talking last night and like don't Cousins and Rondo have a bit of history previously from the Kings. Like, didn't they clash heads in Sacramento?
I don't know. I don't think they. I don't know if they did. I think it was more like him and the coach. Wasn't it just Rondo and the coach?
Oh, it's fucking Rondo and everyone.
Yeah, everyone.
Him,
but... coach, yeah.
Rondo on the coach in Boston. Rondo in the coach in Sac. Rondo coach Chicago. Rondo on the coach in Avs.
The thing is as well. Like, it all depends on the proviso of what he was signed on. As we saw, you know, he went to the Bulls and he was sitting on the bench and he got shitty because he signed sort of
thing. He was that too, though. He had in front of him.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, though. But as long as he realizes that with Drew Holiday, there's 90% chance that he's going to be coming off behind Drew. And if Drew's playing well, then what, like,
you may not. Right. Yeah. You're right there. But at this point, like, they've got two centers and two point guards. I don't even know. Do they have any other players on the team?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Because like, Tyreek
might have to start because they might not have anyone else. They might have to put the coach in a jersey and wheel him out there. But yeah, if he's willing to accept a role, I mean, all good, but I don't know. It's fucking Pelicans are a mess.
I don't know. I mean, like you've got a guy. He wasn't exactly playing that badly when he got benched in Chicago, which made you wonder why he got benched. Obviously, it was because of his fucking attitude. But if you've got a guy that can get people the ball, and you've got two guys like Davis and Cousins, surely they're going to be in all right shape, you would think.
Well, I think they've got nothing to lose. Like, it's not like he's going to come in there and ruin something that they've built, you know? So you take a risk. If it pays off, it does. If it doesn't, it's 1 year. It's, you know, it's not a big deal, I don't think. Oh, there's not really people lining up to go to New Orleans.
No, well, yeah, that's true. Everyone's lining up at the moment to sign with bloody Minnesota by the looks of it. Who else can I think? Derrick Rose, where's he going to end up? He's been talking to Milwaukee, but they haven't set up a second meeting. Is it
China?
You upset people on Twitter, LJ. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's two fans.
Wow.
No, I love D Rose, man. Like, I thought he wasn't that bad for New York.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
Like, I'm a big fan of him, but I just. And I'm surprised that no one has signed him, but that to me, that just. I don't think that he's being realistic with what he's worth at the moment, you know? And those roster spots, they are, you know, we joked about it, but they are closing up. And it's not just the spots that are closing up, it's the cap.
Yeah, the money's closing up
as well. You know, there's, you know, half of the league's in the tax, and you know, he's going to be one of the last guys to sign. So if you are signing D-Rose, you might be taking yourself into the tax or something. So it's not just him that you've got to pay, you know, his salary basically doubles of what you got to cost the team. And I guess, you know, people are just weighing up how many rapes they want to give out. So
Jesus.
Wow.
Allegedly.
There you go.
That was a big build up to that joke.
I wasn't building up to the joke. It just came.
It was a long, long setup.
But you got to wonder if he's sort of thinking it in terms of, well, this could, you know, this is a fair chance. This could be his, you know, depending on how many years he can pick up, it may be, you know, his last big contract before he sort of starts, yeah, you know, really but accepting less. But if you can't, if the offers aren't there, you can't, you know, beggars can't be choosers.
I think exactly what you're saying to me is exactly what's happening. Him and his agent, probably this is your last chance to get a big contract. But unfortunately, his last chance to get a big contract was last contract. You know, I don't think he's going to get that big contract anymore because there are so many guys out there now that are good. Like, the talent level across the NBA is awesome. Like,
well, the dynamic point guard, he was sort of one of the real first dynamic point guards, you know, of that era. And there's so many of them now that he's, you know, and he's on the decline as well. Like,
exactly. You got to be able to shoot. Your point's got to be able to shoot it. Otherwise, it takes too much away from the offense, the way that they play now. Like, he doesn't have to be Steph Curry, but he's got to not be Derrick Rose.
Oh, if your body, yeah, that's the thing though. Like, he's not the same Derrick Rose he was, so he doesn't have the same body that he had. So
that's it.
You know, you got to adapt. You got to adapt, and if you can't shoot, then you know what else you got.
Yep.
But right. one signing I'm excited about, and it's been a long time coming, is Milos Teodosic.
You just wanted to say his name.
I did.
Somewhere Mo's screaming at a fucking radio going, "That's not right!"
Oh, well, he'll deal with it. Mo's beard's tingling.
His Euro senses are tingling.
Yes.
a lot of people, it'd be interesting to see how he goes. I mean, he's been a name that's been floating around for a while, especially after the most recent Olympics. You know, he's a crafty motherfucker with the ball, and he can score as well. So, I don't know, with the way the Clippers have sort of shaped their team with the loss of Chris Paul, I don't think they've actually done too badly out of it.
I was about to say that. For a team that looked like they were completely fucked after you thought, like, Chris Paul was leaving, you didn't know if Blake was going to re-sign, they've sort of rebounded all right with getting bloody Milos and re-signing.
They picked up Beverly. They got
Gallinari.
That's, yes. I mean, well, you got to think as well. They lost Redick and they lost Crawford. But I mean, they sort of looks like, for me, it's almost like they're taking a different direction now. That Lob City, they had Lob City, and now I think they've got a little bit more depth. And you know, with the likes of Beverly, you know, maybe they might take a little bit more of a defensive angle.
For sure, I think they've done the best they could have with a pretty bad situation. Like, at least he didn't leave, you know, CP3 didn't leave for nothing, I guess, is the bonus. But I just worry about with the way that team's made up. First of all, if the way the NBA is now, you can play DeAndre Jordan Blake Griffin and Gallinari together, because I don't know how they're going to guard the sort of more versatile bigs, like, you know, that some lineups are going to put out. But also my main thing, like, I don't know what the over-under would be on between Gallinari and Blake Griffin them playing a full 82 games, but I don't think it would be good. I just think they're two, you know, they're two guys offensively, and they're quite injury prone over the last few years. So that's my worry with them, is that they're just going to get riddled with injuries, and it's just not gonna work.
I think that Bill Simmons tweet was the best one I've seen about that. Offering a guy in a walking boot $157 million deal.
Oh,
it's very clippery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other issue I have is, you guys, I mean, you know, especially Todd, that, you know, fans in LA can be fickle, and especially Clippers. Like, the Clippers bandwagon was when CP3 got there, you know, and Blake and DeAndre had a lot to do with that as well. But not saying they haven't done well basketball wise, but from a, you know, casual fan and a net in the LA area, I guess, which is a lot of, you know, it's a lot of tourists and stuff as well. Are they going to want to go out to see Tia Dosic or whatever, and, you know, Patrick Beverley?
Yeah, well, look, I'll go so far as to say it's taken, like, how long did they fight to become pretty much the number one team in LA? And it's taken
had it for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but it took, like, one draft pick for them to lose everything. Like, one draft pick, yeah. And Chris Paul gone, and now LA, the Lakers are sort of the, if you look at it optically, the Lakers are the team in LA at the moment. No one's really talking about the Clippers.
Yeah, that's true.
It definitely feels like LA's the Lakers town again.
Yeah. You know? And that's
which is always going to happen.
Yeah, that has, you know, that has so much to do with Magic taking over.
Yeah.
Just as much as Ball getting drafted. But it just seems with those two, like Magic and Pelinka, there just seems to be a really solid plan there now. Whereas with the Clippers, it seems that they're just trying to throw money at problems.
But the problem is, though, they're in two different complete positions, though, because the Clippers were sort of around the mark for so long. And, you know, the problem is with the way that the landscape is now, the likes of the Warriors and, you know, even the Rockets at this point in time, I mean, they either have to go all in or all out, whereas the Lakers were sort of already at the bottom, so they only had one direction to go, which was up. So, you know, them to bring youth in and sort of make things exciting was always going to happen anyway.
Yeah, going on with the Rockets, will Chris Paul and James Harden mesh well? Will they work, or will it be a sort of a fight for the ball?
Nah, I think they'll be fine. I just think when you know, there's going to be teething issues, but when you've got two guys that are that good and they want to win, you make it work. You know, like it might take a bit of time. Like when LeBron went to Miami, it took a bit of time to work out, I guess, the pecking order, for lack of a better word, between D-Wade and LeBron, you know? And that might be the same thing that happens, but they know what they're getting themselves into. It's not like they got traded there and now they've got to play. Like, you know, Chris Paul got there because he wanted to play, and Harden wanted to play with him. So I don't think it's going to be as big of an issue as everyone's making it out to be.
Oh, well, just on that as well, I'll go to another listener question sort of linked to the Rockets from David Pitt on Twitter. He wants to know our thoughts on Melo and whether he'll stay a Nick or where we think he'll end up if traded. So, which obviously is kind of linked in with the Rockets, because there's a lot of talk that Melo's pretty confident he's going to end up in Houston before the season even starts. I don't know. Do you reckon it's a foregone conclusion pretty much that he's going to end up in Houston?
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion he'll end up in Houston, but I wouldn't expect that he stays a Nick. I mean, I guess it's always a chance, but the Knicks just have to decide. Like, if they want to go in a completely different way, they might be better just waiving him and spreading his salary over, you know, the 5 years or whatever the provisions are.
They've already said they're not going to buy him out. Look, I'm going to go another way. I don't think that that Houston are going to want to be in the running for him, to be honest with you. You think about it, their owner has just put them up for sale. So after you put someone up for sale, you're not going to want to go and buy and sort of like commit yourself to a contract like that when you're trying to... Do you know what I mean?
Because if they're trading for him, the contracts are the same. So
are you going to have to trade for him, though, to make that contract up?
Ryan Anderson's on 20-something million a year. And with Melo signing, his, you know, Melo's towards the end of his year, so the cap back then wasn't what it is now. So I think it would be, you know, basically be Anderson and a piece would get up to the 25 or 27 mil that Melo's on. So I don't think it would be that hard.
Well, okay. The Rockets already offered, like early on before the draft, they already offered Ryan Anderson straight up for Melo. So
yeah, so the salary wise, it would have to be reasonably close because they're both over the cap. So, well, Houston are definitely over the cap, so it's not like I don't think they can absorb contracts. But
just on the owner looking at selling the Rockets, pretty interesting timing. I don't know. Wouldn't you sort of hold off and sort of wait and see what happens, especially now, you know, the Rockets building what they sort of are building?
Maybe they want to get them on the high in case it doesn't work out.
Yeah, like, you know, that it could be something they've been looking to do, or, you know, because these owners, obviously, they've got a lot of shit going on. So it could have been the other way, is that they were looking to sell it and they got CP3 and thought, let's pull the trigger now while we still got him here, because he's only there for a year. Even if they get Melo, I think this might be Melo's last year or second to last year or something. So I don't know. I think it was odd that it just came out of nowhere, you know? Like, usually if teams are selling or stuff's going on, like, you hear about it.
Nobody heard about it. No one even in Houston had heard about it.
The first time I heard about it was when the press conference came out from Silver. I don't know.
Well, he's done pretty well, though, because he bought the team in 93 for 85 mil, and it's valued recently at 1.65 billion. So maybe he's just gone, fuck it, I'm ready to retire completely and just... Enjoy my cashola.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. There's always someone that's willing to buy a fucking franchise, I guess. A consortium.
There'll be people lining up for it.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of Steve Ballmers out there.
Internet millionaires.
Yeah, we don't need any more Steve Ballmers in the NBA.
Oh, come on. Good, did us well for a couple of skits over the last year.
him getting inside and fucking dancing to Fergie.
That rich jerk that bought the Wu-Tang album, didn't release it, and bought the AIDS medicine and made it like $1 million.
Someone
he'll probably buy it and then say, "Yeah, we're not going to let him play anymore."
Trade everyone off.
Yeah.
bring their G League roster in.
But yeah. Continuing on Melo, if he did go to a team like Houston, I think he's going to have the third best defender on him. So although, you know, he's not the Melo of old, if he's the third best player on your team, I think people are sort of downplaying what he can add to a team when he is a role player, as long as he accepts that role.
Well, that's the thing. If you've got CP3 and Harden there, you can pretty much just have Melo just running off screens into the corner and just Olympic open shots all day. Olympic Melo, which we all know is
the problem.
The best kind of Melo.
Yeah, the problem is though, Houston aren't going to play that style, are they? They play that D'Antoni style. Fucking, was it 18 seconds or less?
Yeah, runs 18 seconds, well, 7 seconds.
Seven seconds.
18 seconds, almost the whole shot.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
but that's the thing though. You got CP3 running the ball up, and you got Harden on one wing and Melo on the other wing. I mean, they could definitely get it done, I think.
All right. Who would you like to talk about next, mate? Has anyone got anything? Does anyone like Lin's proclamation that they're going to make the playoffs this year, Brooklyn?
He's smarter than that. He went to Harvard.
Well, you would think
he should be smarter than that. But I just want to put an open message out there to every basketball commentator and reporter: stop saying these things that PG might end up staying in Oklahoma. I don't need that in my life. I don't need those ideas getting into my head. Because KD's already left. We know PG's going to leave. Just let him do it and stop making up these stupid stories that, you know, he might gel well with Russ and hang around.
I remember I was talking about it to a guy at work the other day, and he's just gone, "Oh, but PG said that he's down. He doesn't know. He might change his mind. He might stick around at OKC." I was like, if you've just rocked up to a team, what are you going to say? I'm just here for a fucking year. Enjoy me.
Yeah, that's right. But there's, like, I think I was watching Lakers and Nets. I can't, even their summer league teams are relevant, but I was watching them and Jeff Van Gundy was commentating and he said, you know, I know Paul George, I know Oklahoma, and I think he's going to love it there. And I think if they win, people might be surprised that he doesn't leave. And I was like, I don't need to hear this shit.
You're not going to get another dog, are you?
Well, nah, probably not.
You're probably better off calling it Singer because no one's going to take him.
Oh, they've got to get rid of him before he shoots the school up, man.
Oh,
they really have to. They don't need that kind of negative press.
Hey, at least if you do get a dog and call it Singler, you can give it that fucking little stupid haircut.
It's true, but I think that the chances that he'll be cut and his salary will be spread as well are very high because they're only just over that tax line. And I think if they took that $5 million or whatever and made it $1 million, that'd bring him in the tax, so they'd save. Just by cutting him, they'd save, you know, maybe $4 or $5 million for the year. So, and you know what that team's like, you know, with the tax, especially if they do want to try and keep Paul George staying out of the repeater tax for as long as possible. I think you definitely won't see him with the team by the start of the year.
You keep telling yourself that.
Yeah, it's about the same.
If you say it enough, it will come into in existence.
Actually, one thing we probably should touch on for our mate Wayne. What are Toronto doing? There's a report that came out today that they were offering up Valanciunas to five different teams on draft day. Like, they're just sort of sitting in the middle. They're not deciding whether they're going to go all out or whether they're going to completely blow up the team. Like, you offered Kyle Lowry $100 million and then pretty much just get rid of Damari Carroll because you want cap space, and then to get rid of Corey Joseph and bring in CJ Miles, and it doesn't make sense what they're doing.
Yeah. I don't think the Joseph CJ Miles thing was that bad because I think Miles would be all right in that squad. But they obviously do not want to pay that tax. Like, they are running away from that, you know, that cap at a pretty big rate.
Then don't give Kyle Lowry $100 million.
That was I agree with you 100%. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand that at all. But they've got some young guys there. Like, Powell seems like he should be good, and they've got that other two, Sikkim and Pogo. I don't know what their names are. I can't pronounce them properly, but they got the two young bigs there as well. So maybe they're trying to sort of, I don't know, make that transition. But for a team that was, you know, right there, it does seem like they've made some odd moves.
But I suppose for them to be, like, you know, saying the Raptors were right there, like, they still were a while off of really contending, but it wasn't impossible. Like, it just But they haven't even gone the other way yet. They've sort of just taken half a step back.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, I think personally Lowry's really overrated, and I think DeRozan's probably underrated, to be fair. But they're still going to trot out probably you know, Lowry, DeRozan, Powell, Ibaka and Valanciunas, or whatever they end up making him into. So it's still, you know, a pretty solid starting five.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, Ibaka's not the same Ibaka anymore.
Nah. He got paid.
He
got a pop star wife.
And he's 47 and he's 47 years old, let's be honest. Doesn't matter what he says.
Bit racist. But the
hang on a second, let's not turn that into something it wasn't.
But yeah, I don't know, man. They definitely feel like a team that was in a pretty good spot. And, you know, most teams really seem like they've taken some steps forward, and they seem like they've taken a step back, for sure.
Mm. Has Monta Ellis found a new team yet, or do you think he's going to...
He'll be playing for the Imbeatles. Oh, and my ball just dropped, apparently.
Wow.
Puberty. He'll be playing for the Imbeatles Monday and Wednesday nights at Morphabar Stadium.
Well, these I think it might even hurt these veterans now with this whole new, is it the two, are they called two-way contracts?
It's not going to hurt it because they're additional contracts. So the roster size has gone from 15 to 17 to include the two-way.
So speaking of which Tory Craig from the Brisbane Bullets picked up one of those two-way contracts.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely better for the – it benefits both guys because, as you know, most of us, if anyone's listening to this, probably knows that D-League contracts – just a D-League contract – or, sorry, G-League now contract is I think it's worth like $25,000 at best a year. So to keep the guys there, there's not really anything in there, but I think these two-way deals are sort of partially guaranteed around $250,000
a year. Yeah, it's $267,000.
Okay, so yeah, $267,000 a year, and they play. They get to spend 45 days with the team before they have to get a full contract, and they can go back and forth. So for someone like Torrey Craig, if that deal wasn't there, I don't know that they would take the risk on the roster spot, and at the same time, it wouldn't be worth it for him to just go play in the G League, so he'd probably be back in Australia. So I think you're going to see some guys that, you know, those borderline Euro and traveling around the place go and play over there, which is going to be good for them because they've got that guaranteed money and they're staying in the States. But it's going to be good for the G League as well, adding guys like that.
I was going to say,
I think the NBA as a marketing thing, have seen that, you know, there's definitely potential in that as well, especially with how many people watching Summer League.
I was going to actually ask about that because Van der Blue was the MVP of the Summer League. How did you think he did, like, when you saw him in the Lakers team? How did you think he played for them?
MVP of the... I think you mean MVP of the D-League, not the Summer League.
Yeah, sorry,
I was gonna,
D-League, yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was all right. Like, he was okay, but...
But, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't...
It wasn't, like, didn't set the world...
He's in the D-League for a reason, I guess, you know?
I suppose the thing with the D-League or the G-League, a lot of the guys, you know, are the same guys that are looking for spots at Summer League, but then you've also got to... Keep in mind, you've got these, you know, the rookies coming through that had that extra bit of talent and sort of make it a little bit difficult for these guys that usually would dominate in the D or G League.
Yeah. Yeah, but it gives the guys another pathway. And I guess from the NBL's point of view, it's a double-edged sword there in that we're going to lose some guys that would have been in the league. But at the same time, when Torrey Craig came out to the league, he's definitely not the player that he is now. He was sitting on the bench in Cairns for 2 years. He went to Brisbane. You know, he sort of... blossomed into a great two-way player there, and then he's gone over to the Summer League and shown what he can do and got himself a contract. So although he's not going to be there, other guys might be looking at it now thinking, you know, you obviously get seen there. It's a genuine way to make it, and that might sort of encourage some of these guys to come down here. So I have to wait and see how that one works, because I think Travis Trice is... pretty close to signing a deal as well, I've heard, with I can't remember who it was, my bad, but he's signed as the other Brisbane import this year, so Brisbane could have two guys gone you know, before they even start.
Oh, and I think Brisbane.
Corey Webster apparently he's already out.
Perth, but in saying that, so he's Perth. He goes out of Perth and Bryce Cotton comes in. So,
yeah.
Fucking
which
Perth.
Which was weird, but I thought he was going to go better in the Summer League, to be honest with you. And I didn't think he'd be back because he was, you know, he was in the NBA like a year ago. You know, he was bouncing around. And, yeah, I'm surprised that, you know, there's not a two-way deal or something there for him. But at the same time, if it's Perth, and if it is, you know, $260,000, Perth probably match that or close to. And he gets to play half a season, then go to Europe and then, you know, try and make it back next year. So,
it potentially becomes the man of the league. Like, there's a fair chance that he can just take over this league. So,
yep, for sure.
Have we heard anything
Perth,
more?
Did it again.
Yeah. Have we heard anything more on Randall? Like with contracts and
he won't be in Adelaide.
He's chasing the contract, man. Like from what you got to read into it, you know, he went and played in that NBL All Australian team China. Yeah, there was no real need for him to do that other than to go over there and try and showcase what he can do and possibly pick up a contract in China, which he probably didn't really showcase his skills too much over there. It wasn't his best performance. So
that last game, he was good though.
To be fair, the refereeing was shocking.
But a lot of things that Rome did as well, I'm sure he'd agree. Like, he wasn't himself. A lot of, like, you know, missed shots and turnovers and whatnot. So I think now he'd have to be reassessing his options. But
I think even though he didn't play that well, it got him in front of those guys. So even though he didn't play that well then, if he goes and does something now, they're going to know who he is, I guess. Or well, they're going to be watching to see if he does something. Like, he's over in the basketball tournament.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting like $100,000 for that or something. But no, is that only if they win?
Yeah, they get a split of the winnings.
It's like two million or something if you win, like team.
Yeah. And each player, they list each player's salary on there. And he had $100,000. So maybe that means he gets $100,000 if they win.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, they say this is what your cut's going to be.
Yeah. But I mean, even in that, like, he showed out today, he had a good game, but in that, even he was, like, he's not starting, and that's in, you know, a semi-pro sort of thing. So, I don't know, man, I wish him all the best. He gave two pretty good years here and probably didn't end the way that we wanted it to, but at the same time, I you know, as far as from a basketball point of view, I think the NBL, it's going to be where he plays his best basketball anyway, but might not be where he makes the most money, and that's what it's all about, so... It'll be interesting to see what happens, but I hope if he doesn't play for the Sixers, he doesn't play in the NBL, because I don't know if I could take that.
especially if, you know, it obviously looks like him and Rob Beveridge are pretty chummy now, so
yeah.
I mean, I don't see it happening, but if he was to go to Illawarra, I think that would just set it off.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely chasing the money, and if he was to come to the NBL, I don't think Illawarra could give him the best offer, so I wouldn't be surprised though if they don't pick up Casper Ware if United make a play at him, because they've got the money to spend, and you know they want to win. They've got a good coach now, so who knows?
All right, boys.
Who knows?
Anything else we wish to cover here about? Oh, have you guys checked out the big three at all while we're talking? Because of course, Isaiah, Allen Iverson sat out the Philly leg of the tour, which
makes no sense at all. Is he injured?
Well, he said it was under doctor's orders, but his doctor's orders.
He sat out every leg of the thing.
No, I watched him play tonight.
Yeah, and how'd he go?
He was very small and frail.
That's what I mean. Like, I can understand it being in Philly, you know, especially them getting upset. And if he wasn't well, he's not well. But I think people generally thought he was going to come out, cross someone over, step over him, and throw something down. Like, it's you've got what you were going to get from him. He was there to mark. He was marketing.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what you have to know what you're getting. They're setting this thing up, and you know, it's the first year. They're going to make mistakes and stuff, and hopefully they come back and do stuff, because anything that is basketball in the off season, I'm all for it.
But surely, if they're setting something up, they'd say, "Look, mate, we don't care if you fucking don't play LA. We don't care if you don't play fucking. You have to be in that Philly game."
Yeah, but we need I think if he could have been, he would have been, even if he walked out for 9 minutes and dribbled the ball around. I think, genuinely, he couldn't be out there. And, you know, shit happens, especially when you're old. But I think as far as the... Like I said, I think, on the last pod, I think they're going to use this as a stepping stone, and eventually you'll see the old players replaced with guys that play 3-on-3 ball. But if they trotted this around America with, you know, 30 guys that are great 3-on-3 players, but you've never heard of, it wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Yeah,
so,
but surely you'd think you'd try and find, you'd get like your fucking, say your Allen Iversons, your fucking Scalabrinis, but then you would throw on the bench those really good 3-on-3 players, so then they could come out and show. And so then the next year, these guys are like, look, I'm getting too old. Oh, that's cool, because we saw that guy last year. He fucking ripped it up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same, you know, if you're watching something and there's 30 guys that you know, or there's 10 guys that you know, I think the buzz around it, because that's what everything's about these days anyway. It doesn't matter what actually happens. It matters who's writing about it on Twitter. Like,
which is me.
I think, yeah, about everything.
Yeah,
replying to his own tweets and stuff. But anyway,
it's what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think it seems like a good concept and stuff, but it probably has fallen a bit flat. I think that, and I can understand why it's not live, but I think that the whole not live thing has really killed it for me, you know?
Yeah. Nowadays, you can't have fucking...
Especially not a couple of days delay, you know? Like, yeah. It's too long.
The problem is, I think because the hype was so big and the names were there, there was a bit of an... You know, you can say that you didn't expect it, but there was a little bit of an unreal expectation, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, to have Jason Williams fucking blow it, because is he done now? He hasn't played again, has he?
No.
He's
blew his knee out. Like, Yeah, you know, I think the concept's there. You know, they've shown the market's there. So hopefully, you know, maybe they do bring in some of these guys that have the ability. They might not have the names, but they have the ability, and they can sort of grow the league into its own thing and move away from having, you know, these NBA names tagged along with it.
I'm surprised that I don't know. There might be something contractually about it. Well, why someone hasn't stepped in and tried to like nationally televise Drew League games?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you'd be pretty surprised at how shit some of them are.
Yeah.
Like I was going to say, a highlight package on you know, BallersLife.com is a bit different. Yeah.
Fair enough. But I don't think
the televised Drew League is the basketball tournament. Like that's the equivalent of something like that.
Fair enough.
But I think that if they were televised, I think what you've said is right. I don't know that you'd get the Hardens and the Crawfords and stuff out there because I don't know that they could.
No, I don't think they'd be contractually allowed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it was like, you know, under the NBA's umbrella, which you're not going to see that happen.
No, well, it's under the NBA Live's umbrella.
Well, yeah. But, yeah.
So, all right, well, boys, I think that'll do us for this is the off-season, so... Of course, it's not going to be as long a show as we're used to.
It's under an hour.
I know.
Yeah, because it's beautiful as well. It's the only time Miller doesn't get to talk about the Warriors.
Did you notice I didn't bring them up once tonight?
No.
You can't. They get to take a proper rest now.
Yeah.
I could have done.
They don't need it. They don't need to do anything.
Please, I could have found a way to bring them up if I wanted to.
Actually, can we bring up just a thing? What the hell is Lonzo Ball doing not wearing his own shoes? Is he treated?
His feet are about to depart from his legs.
Have they worked out that shit's not going to work? So they're trying desperately to get a shoe deal.
Nah, they've played it pretty well, man. When you've got, you know, a 2-time MVP sending you his personal, you know, almost prototype Curry Fours to play with in the summer league, you're doing something right. I mentioned the Warriors. Fuck you.
Yeah. I think. Because they're seeing, like, the shoe companies now get to see how much people are talking about what he's going to wear. So they're like, this is a walking billboard. How much do you want to pay for it?
Yeah.
Look, marketing-wise, his dad could be an absolute dick or he could be a genius. I don't think we're going to know for a while.
You mean the man we don't mention?
Yeah, the man whose name we don't speak.
Yes.
Lamar Smalls.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, he's gone all right. But yeah, one parting note I did want to bring up quickly is that I think from all NBA fans, I'm happy that teams haven't just said the Warriors are going to kill us. Let's fuck it for a while. And they've genuinely gone out there. And look, don't get me wrong, none of the teams have got close to the Warriors, but teams have got closer to the Warriors. And that was sort of the most surprising thing to me was seeing these teams try and take moves and take risks and pay a bit more for something they're probably not going to get.
Well, are you surprised that Cleveland haven't really tried anything?
No, because they can't. They haven't got any. They haven't got a front office. One time a year, they don't have a front office.
The one guy that I had who was almost, you know, he was in the midst of making a move and then said, we're not going to worry about renewing your contract, and that was it. So
almost had Jimmy Butler. And then, like, if you look at the trade that ended up going through for Jimmy Butler, it's not a lot. So, you know, he was there to be taken, and yeah, I think they fucked that run right up. Who knows?
They can just keep signing aging guards like Jose Calderon and to see how it works out for him.
But yeah, I was glad to see teams, you know, like Oklahoma and like Houston and a few other teams that have made moves to get better rather than just throwing it in because there's no point.
Is
no point.
I really do like the fact that the OKC at least took a gamble. Even if he doesn't re-sign, they've given it a good fucking shot. And to have those two on the squad, they're going to be a good team next year.
Yeah, and I'm just going to make the most out of this year. It's going to be fun for at least up until Feb because, you know, if they haven't signed, if Russ hasn't signed the extension and if they haven't got any confirmation from PG that he's going to stay, they may very well be, you know, an auction for him in February.
For who knows? Who, Pierce or, well, both? Or
PG.
PG.
Well, if Russ doesn't sign the extension, And I think the extension is there until the season starts. Once the season starts, that extension has to be off the table.
Oh, okay. Well, the it's a Supermax deal too, isn't it?
They can still give him a Supermax, but it can't be an extension. It can't be a renegotiation of his contract.
Oh, okay.
So they can still, at the end of his contract, they can still offer him the most, but they can just do it now so he never hits free agency.
Fair enough.
And it, so what it does is that the last 2 years of his contract get brought up in line with what the Supermax deal would be as though he signed it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Miller, do you want to point out the Harden deal, please, once and for all?
I think we're way past that now, but yeah, there was talk that it was 4 years, 200 and whatever it was, million. It wasn't. It was over 6 years. It was a four-year extension, and the 260-odd or whatever it was, million, was the salary over those 6 years. And everyone was going mental saying that Harden was getting $57 million a year when he wasn't.
Which is over half of the cap.
Yeah.
Like to see. I don't get it. Like to see pages like ESPN and all that sort of reporting it in that way was just fucking ludicrous.
Yeah,
it is quite, because
You know, I have a rough idea about the NBA contracts. I do take an interest in it, and as soon as someone wrote that in our chat, I hadn't even looked into it at all, and I said no, like it can't be.
Yeah,
that can be right.
I read it.
Of course, if you read that, you're going to expect that it's right. It wasn't from some bum.
No.
But as soon as I read it, I was just like, there's no way that can be right.
And so, speaking of reporting, are we all on board here thinking it's Yahoo that's got the connections and not Woj?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Because...
But he'll get him back. He'll get him back.
You reckon? Or do you reckon he's just happy with his ESPN money?
Well, I think the ESPN won't be happy giving him ESPN money if he doesn't get him back, so we'll see what happens with that.
When he realised Shams is scooping him on everything.
Yeah. But that's always going to be, you know, anything, any team of any kind has a front guy.
Yeah.
So who knows? We're doing a terrible job of wrapping this up.
I know, yeah. Sorry about that. we'll send it home. If you haven't already, guys, make sure you subscribe to the Big Ballers Podcast. It's free, and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review. While you're there, give us a 5-star. It helps us get out there, and so when people look up Bad Basketball Podcast, ours pops up. Share the show and spread the word. For the first time, thanks to our partners over at FNX.network.
Oh, he did it again.
I'm getting terrible at that. I'm so bad.
Just cut that bit into the
start.
No,
right. Because I do the sounder at the start of the fucking show anyway.
True.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, God. Get off my back, Ryan. No, he's not even on my back.
He's not listening to
this. It's too far into the show. Give out your Twitter handles, boys. LJ?
At DaveWareOKC.
Oh, well done. Miller?
At Miltrain.
Mine is at Beast Eastman. The show is at?
At B Ballers Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. We'll try and keep you up to date with as much as the stuff that's happening over the off season with any of the news or trades or signings or whatever.
And if it gets really, really quiet, I'll just start making stuff up.
Yeah. So Derek Rose, the Sixers.
There's pages out there that have like fucking 500,000 followers and they're just making up fake news about the NBA. It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but they probably posted like a sick cat video like a while ago and shit went viral. Now they got their followers, you know?
I don't know. We shared that fucking, that ball video and it's been going ape shit. That little dicky.
That's getting annoying now.
Yeah, when you see a notification for it, you're like, oh, I wonder what, that again. Okay. All right, guys. Well, until next time, I'm not sure when we'll be back. When something happens, I guess, until the season. We only got what? When is it? End of September? End of September?
It's,
no, end of...
No, nah, October. It's like 80...
Mid-October now, 80, but it is earlier, days. So...
Yeah.
80-odd days away.
Yeah, which is good. They've spread out the games to sort of limit the back-to-back, so hopefully there won't be 1,000 guys resting, so... If you guys spend your money to go over to America to watch a game, you're not going to see bloody LeBron sitting on the bench.
Yeah, by the time I get out of the Game of Thrones rabbit hole, there's only going to be like 4 weeks to go until the NBA starts, so that works out pretty well.
Just don't try and stream it on Foxtel, mate. I hear it's pretty bad.
Don't get me started.
Until next time, this is for LJ, Miller, Todd Eastman. See you next time.
Winter is coming.
Winter's fucking here.
No shit. Fucking hell.
Spoiler alert. Whenever Superman is in the house. I like that on the west side. This is